Trey Fitzgerald, are you there?
I am here. How are you guys?
Welcome to the, I don't know what the show is. The bullpen. No, just kidding. We are, interesting night. 12-game unbeaten streak comes to an end.
Yeah, it was, you know, one of those nights where you have the run of play, but as we've seen a lot in soccer and other sports, one little breakdown, one kind of moment can dictate the winner or loser, whatever. So, you know, we did have a young player who did get a little over-anxious on a tackle, got a red card, and that obviously changed the last, you know, 10, 15 minutes of the game. I think our coaching staff and probably our fan bases quibble with that red card decision by the official was that if a Vancouver player makes that same tackle in the sixth minute of the game, which is something that happened, and, you know, why is it a yellow in the sixth minute and a red in the 76th minute? So, and it just so happens, as you guys have seen in all the different sports that you've covered, that the guy living on borrowed time, essentially, from the earlier transgression ends up making the game-winning assist there late. So,
oh, that's always the way it works out. So he gets the break at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually the first home loss with for Kyle Beckerman, Nick Raimondo, Alvaro Saborillo, who were gone for part of last June due to the World Cup. It was the first home loss for those guys since October of 2013. And it was the first home regular season shutout loss since March of 2012. So it had been a pretty good run at Rio Tinto. And, you know, I think the attitude from the guys in the locker room was that it was, you know, a good performance but a bad result. And, okay, we've got one home loss. That's kind of what we're allotted each year here. So we'll get back at it. The guys are off today. Get back at it tomorrow. Go to New England on Saturday. And then come back with a couple home games the first week of May. So
I do want to just to be clear. So did you think, I mean, you looked at it, you watched it. Did you think Saucedo's foul was not a foul, or did you think it just wasn't worthy of the red card?
No, I think it was worthy of the red card.
Okay.
But it's the Vancouver player who made a very similar tackle in the first few minutes of the game. That's got to be a red card. But he only gets yellow because the referee isn't ready to make a game-changing decision in the sixth minute that he apparently is willing to make in the 76th minute. So, you know, and again, you just hope that over the course of a season, those types of calls, those situations on red cards, on penalty kicks, et cetera, you just kind of hope that those even out over the course of 10 and a half months, which is the length of our season. So, yeah, Saucedo, even he said, look, it's a red card. You know, I can't really argue with it.
Yeah.
Obviously wasn't trying to go in high with my studs up, but when you're running a million miles an hour, sometimes those kind of things happen. And I thought his teammates did a really good job of telling him to keep his chin up and not letting him take the blame that he was willing to take for the loss. It was a game where, you know, we missed some chances that we usually don't. And, you know, again, it's April, and the championship game is in December, so the team's going through a little bit of a transition on tactics and offensive philosophy. And then when you're missing Javier Morales, Joao Plata, Sebastian Jaime, you're missing some pretty key pieces. Chris Schuler out due to injury, which happened 5 minutes before kickoff on Saturday night. So all in all, you know, this team has given up one shot on goal to its opponents in the last two games. And unfortunately, you know, you lose on a very well-taken chance, really Vancouver's only chance of the game on Saturday night. But it was obviously a great crowd, 19th consecutive sellout at Rio Tinto Stadium. Many of our fans are saying that's the loudest they've ever heard the stadium, which is pretty impressive for a Saturday night in April. So we know we've got a big year still to come.
You mentioned the injury to Chris Schuler and other injuries. How much does that affect? You guys are off to a 2-1-3 start, 9 points so far. How much has that affected the early season play?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to look at the silver lining, and because of those injuries, you're getting, 19-year-old Jordan Allen significant minutes, and he's, you know, grabbing the bull by both horns and playing really, really well. Luis Gil is getting a chance to play that kind of coveted playmaker role that is normally occupied by Javier Morales. And Elias Vasquez, who's filled in for Schuler now the last couple games, another young 22-year-old center back. You're getting those guys key minutes in, you know, real live game situations, not reserve games, not practices, not that kind of thing. So you know that that's going to pay off later in the year when we have to throw those guys in the fire again, when we're playing in Panama or Costa Rica or wherever in our CONCACAF tournament, or when you've got 3 games in 7 days, which is happens to every team a couple times a year just due to the vagaries of the MLS schedule. So you know that you're gonna win or lose based on all 27 players on your roster, not just the top 11 or 14. So getting these young guys minutes is just valuable. We know it's going to pay off, so that when something happens and you've got to throw them in a playoff game, that they're going to be up to speed, ready for the challenge, et cetera. So that's the silver lining. Obviously, you don't want to lose any of these guys, but, you know, for João Plata, our leading scorer last year, 13 goals, one of the most exciting young players in the league, for him to break a bone in his foot literally on the first training session of preseason on a artificial surface, you say that, well, that's bad luck, but if it's going to happen, I guess you hope that it happens on January 29th as opposed to August 29th when you're going into that playoff stretch run.
The younger guy getting the red card, I think, was a little bit understandable. There were some circumstances, but what about Olave picking up his second yellow in the 89th minute? And, it wasn't the reason the game was lost, but I think, you know, what can you do as a coaching staff, or how do you address that? What's kind of the...
Yeah, it's obviously you want to talk to the player, because his first yellow card was for dissent, you know, which is arguing with the official. So maybe you think that's an unnecessary yellow for him to take. The second yellow card is something that probably a more veteran official doesn't give, because he's managing the game. He understands who has a yellow, who doesn't. And certainly we can debate the pros and cons of that kind of philosophy, but you know, we really didn't have a lot of argument over either yellow. It's just a little unfortunate that both came to the same guy in the same game, especially one where you're pressing for that kind of late equalizer. Now, the silver lining there is that Olave probably wasn't going to go to New England this weekend and play on turf anyway, because of his he doesn't have a meniscus in one of his knees, so we generally protect him from those turf games. So unfortunately, though, with the Schuler injury, maybe that changes that intent a little bit. But anyway, Olave and Schuler will both be out Saturday in New England, and it'll give Vasquez and presumably one of our other young center backs, whether that's Aaron Mond, who's from the Boston area, or maybe a Justin Glad or a Fanuel Cavita, who's actually a local kid from Highland High School. Maybe one of those guys will get a chance to step in and show off where they're at in their early professional career.
With this game in Massachusetts on Saturday and moving forward, what aspect of the game on the pitch do you feel like you guys need to improve on to kind of get up in the upper part of the standings? Right, yeah, now you're a little bit lower.
Yeah, Jody, you know, the team is going through a little bit of a offensive transformation where we've changed our tactics a little bit from that kind of tried and true 4-4-2 diamond that we've played for so many years. We're now in a 4-3-3, which, you know, some of that's just semantics. It's how do you attack, how do you defend as a team. So the transformation, the transition to the new philosophy is stagnated maybe our attack a little bit. I think if you go back and watch that Vancouver game, certainly you look at our game 2 weeks ago in San Jose, you feel good about the direction it's going. And Jeff Kassar, Craig Weibel, our GM, they feel that this new formation, this kind of new tactical switch gives us a chance to have more of our attacking dynamic players on the field at the same time. Again, this is if everybody's healthy, but then you have Morales, Saborillo, Garcia, Jaime, Gill, and then Luke Mulholland and Kyle Beckerman kind of moving forward in the attack. And then certainly from your outside backs, you get a lot of width going forward. And it's just a matter of, you know, how aggressive do you want your mindset to be? But it's been one of those situations where I think, as we've seen in the first six games, and again, we're six games into a 34-game regular season. You hope that you have a 5 or 6-game Open Cup run. You have 4 games in CONCACAF and then 5 or 6 playoff games. So, again, we're barely 10% into what we hope will be a 45-50-game season. But you can tell at certain junctures that guys are thinking and not reacting and playing, and that's expected. That's typical.
That sounds like I cover the Jazz. That sounds like what happened to the Jazz early on. They changed systems, and they were kind of overthinking things instead of just playing. So
and like when Kyle Beckerman has his, you know, he's facing Nick Raimondo, he's taking the ball from him to kind of restart, the move forward. When he turns around, in the past, he didn't even need to look. He knew where Ned Grabovoy was going to be and where Tony Beltran was and where Javi Morales was. But now, you know, he makes that turn, and instead of having Ned 8 yards square and having Javi 12 yards ahead and somebody else, you know, 15 yards diagonal, he turns, and the passing lanes are different because of the player positioning is different, and it's going to require an 18-yard diagonal ball as opposed to a 10-yard whatever, you know, to kind of keep going. So I think the guys feel that it's coming, but it's not 90 minutes there yet. Now, again, the good news is there's two sides of the ball, and for us to have that goal the other night, essentially snap nearly a 300-minute shutout streak, and for this team that's gone into Portland and Kansas City, which are two of the toughest places to play, and as well as San Jose and their new stadium, that's going to end up being a great atmosphere there. To not have given up a goal in 3 games, 270 minutes, you know, that's kind of your foundation. That's where you go into New England this weekend. You know, New England's a good team. They were in MLS Cup last year, but you know, they were a team that had an 8-game losing streak in the middle of April and May, and got everything together to go ahead and make it to the championship game in the first week of December. So,
Is not lost, right?
Yeah, all is not lost. It's not time to jump off a cliff. And I know as a sports fan, sometimes it's hard not to ride that week to week, game to game roller coasters. I know you guys know that pretty well too. So we're confident, we're optimistic going into New England. On top of the injuries, though, we do have some issues where players are in U.S. youth national team camp. So, Luis Gil and Boyd Okwuanu are in the Olympic camp right now. They'll play a game Wednesday and then come meet us in Boston on Thursday to get ready for Saturday's game. Jordan Allen is in Austria right now. He left yesterday. He'll play a game tonight with that U-20 team, and he's trying to get on the U-20 World Cup roster, and this is the last camp before their coach, Tab Ramos, names that roster. So he's got to take advantage of an opportunity to impress. And then so his status for Saturday is up in the air a little bit based on maybe how well he does in the early going of this camp in order for Tab to kind of make a decision and know that he's going to be part of the team, and then he can release him back to us for Saturday. And then Justin Glad and Sebastian Saucedo, two of our younger players who have done very, very well for the Monarchs so far this year, and then Sebastian doing well prior to the red card the other night, they're in a camp with the under-18 national team, and they've got their World Cup coming up next year. So the future is bright. You know, we always talk about Raimondo and Beckerman and Saborillo, you know, with their full national teams. But now that you've got another wave of five guys that are in the U.S. system, and who knows, maybe one or two or more of those guys will break through and be playing alongside Raimondo or Beckerman in Russia in 2018. Who knows?
All right. Well, so you have your show tonight. What do you have coming up on your show tonight?
Yeah, Brian Dunseth and I, every Monday night here on ESPN 700, we have a show called On Frame, and we'll have Kyle McCarthy, who's one of the preeminent soccer beat writers. You see his stuff on foxsports.com, and he writes for several Boston area outlets. So he'll join us to give us kind of the preview of RSL at New England. He was also in San Antonio last week when Kyle and Nick started for the U.S. in that big 2-0 win over Mexico. So we'll talk about the continued evolution of Jurgen Klinsmann's U.S. national team as well. And then RSL's assistant GM, Elliot Fall, is going to be in studio with us, and we'll get a little big picture on some of these youth development things that you and I have just touched on. And then we'll talk about the Monarchs, where they're going, their home Saturday after the RSL game. And then we've got some other just kind of soccer topics that we'll kick around. Obviously, always looking for fan participation, so folks can dial in and give us their takes on what's going on with our locker room.
Awesome. Thank Great. You so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
All right, Great guys. Love the show.
Hey, thanks, Trey.
Thanks. Bye.